This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Inspirate Business, the show that's here to inspire you, to empower you, and to enlighten you. And today on our red hot couch, we have none other than Brother Idris Khamisa, somebody who is a mentor to me. Somebody that is a mentor to many, many people in our community around the globe, a world-renowned icon, Idris is. And we should, as South Africans, be so proud, I believe, to have somebody of the stature of Idris who gives off so much of himself, a lot of times volunteering, just in terms of helping our ummah. And Idris has got his hands, I know, on the pulse when it comes to what are the challenges that our society is going through. Welcome, Uncle Idris, fondly known as Uncle Idris. So I'll be interchanging sometimes saying Uncle Idris and Idris in the formal stature. Welcome, Uncle Idris.
Wa alaikum salam, Yusuf. It's always good to interact with you, you know, your wonderful dramatic introduction, would make another person nervous, So, but anyway, I feel uplifted by it. And I'm sure, inshallah, with Allah's blessing, we will not disappoint the viewers, inshallah.
So I only learned from the best. I just have to give a quick rider here. You know, there was a time when I was, still quite involved in your own personal development and traveling around the world and going to learn. And I bump into this man, who I didn't know, by the way. And he nudges another associate and he says, you know, this guy, he's puzzling. You know, he needs to now stop going to learn from others and eventually come and go and do his own work. So thanks to Uncle Idris, who then nudged me to start a journey on expressing my own gifts, I'm sitting here today. So that was just something that I needed to share. Actually, Uncle Idris, thank you so much, because I think I needed that wake-up call. You know, they say people constantly develop and learn and then don't share. You have to be doing that.
You see, that's a good point that you raise, not because you're waxing lyrical about me, is that every individual is unique and he has something to offer. Mm. You have something to offer. Offer it, because when you offer it to other people, what are you doing? You're giving them meaning in their life. You're uplifting them. You're healing them. You're giving them self-worth. And all of us being part of the Ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should feel the self-worth and say, what difference am I making to the lives of other people? Mm.
So this self-worth that you talk about, I mean, I know you exude the self-worth, but it is a challenge right now. Was this from your rearing as a youngster? And I think for many of us, maybe we don't know, some of your close associates know, and you talk a lot about Shepston, the fond Shepston. Tell us a little bit about your life growing up. I know you were quite an extended family, your siblings with your parents, that Allah grant them Ameen. Jannah as well. Tell us a little bit about that, and where did the self come? Were you always as confident as you are?
You know what? I was really a shy clown.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a shy clown, right? I mean, for example, at school, if there was a magician, they want a volunteer, the whole school will shout, the teachers, Khamisa, Khamisa, Khamisa. Mm. But I was really shy. And there are many factors that contributed to my growth. The one is I grew up in a very loving family. And I grew up with a father that had a public profile. He was involved with the Blind Society, with FOSA, with the Muslim Association. He was director and producer of plays. Mm. And in our home, we had Muslims and non-Muslims coming almost every day, eating with us. We used to get visitors almost every other day. And my dad had this habit of, he was quite an avid reader, and he used to enjoy reading great articles, the newspaper. And he used to always ask me my opinion. And in that way, I felt a sense of validation, right? Then we had great teachers, and I want to just share this one tipping moment. This was a tipping moment for me. I had a teacher who was a good friend. He's still alive, and I met him last week in Cape Town, Smail Katrada. He was my father's friend, and he used to come home often. and they were involved with the plays together. And so when I was in standard 8, that is grade 10, you know, it was an all-boys class, and the guys were very naughty there, right? And I had a teacher of English, and I don't want to name him. I am not too sure if he's alive. Anyway, he used to read, like, the essays that we used to write. And the students used to laugh at my mistakes, you know. And I should laugh. So funny, sir. But no one knew that I used to cry myself to sleep, you see. And I never complained to my dad, because my dad was very clear. My dad was what you call a martinet, you know, strict disciplinarian. He told the teachers, the flesh is yours, the bones are mine. And in my naivety, I thought my father is going to give them kurbani meat without the bones.
Those are the old school principles.
Old school. So anyway, what happened, the next year, Smail Khatrada was my teacher. And I remember this so vividly, I can almost remember verbatim what he said to me. We are doing a poem called The God's Grandeur, right? And I was sitting at the back of the class, and there was a young woman next to me. I said, it's also God's grandeur. So, you know, so I was pinching her cheeks.
So he started at a young age, this love doctor.
Love doctor. Yeah. So anyway, so I wasn't paying attention, because I'd resigned myself to the fact that I'm useless in English. I resigned myself that, you know what, nothing I would say, people would take me seriously. So Smail Khatrada noticed me, and his words were, this is going back, you know, 52, 53 years ago, whatever. He said, Idris, he said, you're a naughty boy. I said, no. He said, I am not leaving the class until you give me your interpretation of the last two lines of the poem. And you know me, if you do not give it to me, I will give you the cold shoulder. Do you want the cold shoulder from me? I said, no, please, no, please. Because I know what it meant, right? So anyway, I gave an answer to get him off my back. But I did not realize it was a profound answer. He said to the class, I want you to ignore my interpretation, that is his interpretation, and I want you to take down Idris's interpretation. And he said to me, Idris, why don't you give yourself a chance? You have the ability. And what this was reinforced when he went the next door class to do the same poem. And he said, you know what? I'm sharing with you Idris's interpretation. And my cousin, who was part of the extended family, she told me that evening, Smail Khatrada was really praising you. And that was a wow moment for me. From that day, I became a voracious reader. I began to participate with Allah's blessing. 8 years after that, I became the chairman of the English Society of South Africa. So and I had good friends like A.B. Dawji and other people in Poshepson. So there are lots of factors that contributed to our growth. You know, and it was our home was a place of tranquility. Every home had the challenges, but we had parents that believed in us, you know.
So, I mean, how important is it? And I think that's a powerful lesson for, you know, the viewers watching, is that, you know, a teacher that just nudges you and brings out that latent talent in you. You know, it can, either a teacher, parent, can make or break a kid. Because let's assume there was a negativity around it. You know, that could have broken you forever. And then you lose that gift, and then we have to find it later in life and peel off all the darkness that we've put over our gifts. And this is very, very important. Also, that of speaking positively to our kids, as a teacher, as an adult, as a parent, how important that is.
It is so critical. You know, they say a teacher is not a sage on the stage, but a guide on the side. It's about that dynamic. In fact, you know, I'm so glad we're talking about this. And I am very, very parasitic on new knowledge. I want to learn even a story. We were in Turkey. We're part of a global association, Islamic schools. There were about 70 of us present. And there were a number of things that were said that were very, very uplifting. Professor Abdullah, may Allah bless him. He's in Australia. He's a Palestinian brother. He shared this powerful story of a teacher, this powerful story. And it's a story about a young boy who was extremely naughty, and they had to put him in a special class.
Mm.
But this boy passed away, you see. When the teacher got the news, he cried. So they were surprised. So why are you crying?
Mm.
Look at his response. He said, I'm crying because Allah sent this boy to teach me patience. Mm. Look at how deep is that. Mm. To teach me patience. And you know, this is the whole thing, you see.
Mm.
That in the school system, each person has a unique personality. If all students were self-motivated, they were driven, they were intrinsically motivated, there's no need for a teacher.
Mm.
Your true test, crucible, is when you can help that individual who is reluctant and demotivated.
Mm. And you've had so many experiences of this, having been a teacher yourself, who's up to today doing such amazing work with, you know, in the business circles as well, with organizations in terms of their own development, you know, the employee personal development, which is, I believe, today the key advantage for many organizations, is that human capital harnessing and nurturing and development. That is the edge. I mean, everything else with technology is pretty much being automated. But that creator force, which I think can never ever be automated, that is that human soul, and to bring that out, that Allah has given us that gift. So we've come to the end of the first segment, being enlightened and intrigued by, and by the way, looking extremely handsome today. He's always handsome, but looking extra special, maybe because he's on the Inspirate Business Show, I like to believe so, but looking extremely handsome. So let us explore this tapping into that human soul and its development, which Idris is got his 10,000 hours, the subject area expert on, immediately after the break. Welcome back to Inspirate Business, where we have none other than this world-renowned educationalist, a practitioner in human capital development, a name that's synonymous in the South African circles, internationally as well, Uncle Idris Khamisa. So we were talking in the previous segment about your days in Port Shepstone, this rearing, how a teacher, you know, nudged you to find that latent talent in you, which then got you to be an avid reader. And you then went on, I believe, to do your master's in English.
The first part, yeah.
Yes, and have continued. And then you went and you became a teacher. So, you know, at the time, I mean, I guess there were the options which most young Indian men have, the option of going into business, or you go into the professional. Just let's get an understanding. What made you get into this field?
Okay, what actually happened was, yeah, I went to university to become a lawyer.
Okay.
Right. So
this is at KZN?
Okay, yeah. And midstream, I met up with an accident, right?
Okay.
And so it affected my studies. And so I said, you know what, 2 years at the university, I don't want to be a parasite. I'm going back home. Mm. I went home. So my father said to me, son, of all my sons, you're the last one to open a business. Your heart is too soft, he told me. Then there was this opportunity of being a locum at the school, teacher of English. And I went there. When I went there to the classroom, I realized then, being on the other side, the power a teacher has, either to liberate the mind of the child, to sabotage him, to give him hope.
Mm.
You know, the power you had, and it was frightening. Then I said, I like it.
Mm.
I began to love it. And I think, you know, maybe this is purely anecdotal, but because I was naughty as a student, not doing my homework at times, whatever, playful, I think as a result of that, I'm more sympathetic than those teachers that did the homework all the time, they are less patient with children. Mm-hmm. And I felt Allah put in my heart love for children, love to understand who they are, mm-hmm. love the psychology. And so I'm an avid reader regarding this. So this is what I began to do, you know, alhamdulillah.
So you then, you were a teacher, and then you...
I lectured also at a university in Cape Town on didactics and methodology.
And you've been at various provinces.
Yes, yes.
And I mean, at one stage you were in Roshni.
Yes.
You were in Cape Town well. Yes. So you've quite traveled, right?
Yeah.
And as an educationist. Now, what then spurred you on to... Because although you say your father told you not to get into entrepreneurship in the formal sense, you are an entrepreneur right now because you using that amana that Allah has given you, this gift which you found this purpose of expressing it to kids in a class, now you do it for organizations as a businessman through a educationalist. What made you then leave the formal teaching fraternity into the education in the business world?
One of the things that I learned, you know, that in life you must diversify. You got to diversify. And all of us have the capacity to embrace new knowledge. In the end, whatever you say, be it business, teaching, it's about relationship dynamics. Is basically about who you are. And that's critical. You know, when you are engaged in business, when people come to you, do you inspire confidence in the other person? Do they believe and trust you? Would they take your recommendations seriously? Do you have the approach about a win-win situation? Or you're a kind of person that wants to exploit others? It's about only profiteering at the expense of others. So this is the whole issue. And the critical, for me, a critical thing, and I've, alhamdulillah, I love to read. I'm excited about reading. You know, I've learned one fundamental thing at the point that you made earlier on, that some people erroneously believe it suffices to teach people technical skills. But technical skills, everyone can embrace. But what is far more important are the soft skills. Developing the right attitudes, a spirit of teamwork, professionalism, about unleashing their creativity, about validation, and all of these things are critical because you got to understand that all of us are products of life experiences. And then, sadly, you got some business entrepreneurs or some business people do not invest enough in their employees. In fact, one of the things I say to people that if I were to do a program for your company, there are three benefits. Number one, that individual will be far more productive. Secondly, be far more professional. And thirdly, which for me is the most important thing, he'll be a better human being. His spouses will say, what a man. His children will recognize who he is. So they love those programs. And the other, whilst I'm at it, give you a unique aspect to it. How I go about doing this is the following. And I was also inspired by a statement someone made. Someone asked him, how do you employ? He says, I employ people based on attitude. He said, attitude? What about the skill? It's a skill I can teach. But if he doesn't have the attitude, I cannot help him. Skill, technical skill I can teach. Now, you got to understand, as human beings, we are gregarious social beings. We have friends and we have family. People have realized if the man is happy at home, he's far more productive in the workplace, right? So what do I do? Is say I come to you and I say to Yusuf, okay, fine, I'm here. What are your challenges? He says, ta-ta-ta-ta. I say, okay, my suggestion is maybe let me do a program only for your managers. And I'll call it moving from management to leadership, right? Then what I would do, I make it clear. And I will interview all of them before I do the program. I say to them, listen, I don't want it to appear as coming top down. I say, listen, I'm going to do this program. This is what I'm going to include. What else you like me to include? So they are happy, they participated. then I'll produce a 120, 130 page manual with the notes and the worksheets and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then I say to them, in a month or 6 months, 6 weeks' time, I'm going to evaluate you. Mm. You've got to show me evidence of what you have done differently. And after I do that, I administer a questionnaire, then I'll produce a 130 or 150 page feedback, which would include graphs, it would include recommendations, observations. So people find that very, very useful, right? Mm. So the bottom line is this, especially after the lockdown, the looting, people's personalities have changed. Mm-hmm. People have become despondent. Mm-hmm. They've become inward looking. Extroverts have become introverts. Mm-hmm. There's a knee-jerk reaction. Far more road rage now than ever before. Far more divorces than ever before. Mm-hmm. So we need people to get a grip on this life, mm-hmm. how we can maintain positivity. Because as Muslims, you're supposed to be positive mm-hmm. all the time, no matter what you are going through. We do not give up. Because nothing happens except the will of Allah,
There's some very powerful things that you've spoken about here. That number one, look, business. A lot of people focus on the strategy of business, and it is very, very important. I mean, you need to understand operational strategies, marketing strategies, financial strategies. Those are the mechanics of business. And there's so much of information that's available out there. And I think those are functions now that technology is enabling. Mm. I mean, you can have spreadsheets and, these now, there's apps now around, even putting a business plan together. You just fill in your information and there, what spurts out is actually your entire forecast. So all of that is, but that development of the soul, that development of the individual, which makes up the culture of the organization. And they talk about this. They say culture will eat strategy for breakfast any day in business. Mm. And I think that's the differentiator for businesses. I mean, you look at the leading companies. Apple has got its own unique culture. Mm. Google's got its own unique culture, And it is about harnessing that. And I think that's the lesson for a lot of us. I know we are a lot in survival mode as businesses. Mm. Yes, you need to get to that level. But it is about that. How do you get into that level where you're in that enlightened organization, where you now making an impact and difference? And that's what my understanding is the work that you do.
Yeah, you see, a critical thing, what happens? Some people, you go to them, they say, listen, man, my staff are too busy to go for a workshop. Mm-hmm. They say all of these things. But you know what? You have not gone into the minds of these individuals. Mm-hmm. People may be coming there reluctantly, purely to survive. Mm-hmm. There's no deep-seated loyalty. And the point, a question to be asked, the fundamental thing, why should I come to your business? Why should I buy your products? What is unique about it? Mm-hmm. You're doing the same thing as others. Therefore, people now are moving from, customer satisfaction to customer experience. Mm, it's a fundamental difference to customer experience. When they walk in, is there a wow factor from the time, the person, the security, to the individual in the reception? How are people motivating you and saying, I like to be there? You know what? I'll give you another example.
Yeah, we're going to go to this example and I want to explore this much further. Mm. This customer experience, this culture of how it's created. Because I think we're on such an exciting, I believe the future of business at the moment is that creativity, harnessing that, and that becomes your edge immediately after the break. Welcome back to Inspirate Business, the show that's here to inspire you, to empower you, and to enlighten you. And we're talking to Uncle Idris Khamisa, a professional in the space of human capital development. How important is human capital development in the world we live in? I believe strongly that this is the differentiator for the world and businesses and organizations today. Yes, we have all the strategies and it's all available. Very important to learn those strategies. And you can get that through your degrees, through courses. There's a lot of that around. You want to be a marketing guru, you need to understand marketing strategies. you know, consumer surveys, et cetera, et cetera, financial strategies, business, you know, you work out your spreadsheets and so on. However, what's the point of all of that if you don't have that edge? You as a personal, as a person needs to be whole. When you as a person are whole, your organization is whole, and you create that uniqueness, that innovation. And you spoke about, you know, the various elements of human capital development. I think there's one other element which also becomes very strong, which is, how do you navigate through the complex world we live in? It is a fast-paced world. Mm. Who would have thought there's a thing called COVID, right? That would have come in 2019. I always laugh about it. I say 2019, 31st of December, if you ask somebody, listen, the whole world will come to an end. It will come to a stop.
Correct.
Yes. Right? You'll say, you're crazy, you need to go to a mental institute. It is what happened. What will happen in 2 years' time? We don't know.
Correct.
Right? We can deliberate about who does what. The point of the matter, it's just so dynamic. And you need to have the space. Spirituality is so important. And they're talking about this in business circles.
Correct, yes.
Unheard of 10 years ago. Spirituality was like a phenomenon for esoterics, philosophers, religious people. Today, business people are talking that you need that spirituality. So this wholesomeness, this unearthing of this innovative culture, how do you go about doing it in an organization practically?
You see, I think it's important, if whoever is the head of the institution, people look at you. It is about you. Do you inspire innovation? Are you a kind of person that chastises mistakes? You know, for example, there's a company in America. Can you believe this? They wanted to develop the idea of creativity in the company. And they say, if you make a mistake in pursuing creativity, they give you $1,000. Can you believe it?
What a change in mindset.
What a change in the mindset, yes. Right? And what was happening, people were forced to think outside the box. Who are the people that are getting the brownie points today? Not the oil sheikhs of the world. Who thought? The others. Who are thinking outside
the box.
Look
at a guy like Elon Musk, and who's come from nowhere. Nobody knew about him. And today he's the leader. Everyone looks at him, and it's about innovation, right?
Yeah. And this is the whole thing, you see. It's about, you know, we have become traditionalists. We are creatures of habit. And we are not prepared to stop and pause and say, hey, you know what? So the question to be asked, you know, no matter how good your product is, in fact, statistics have shown, can you believe this? Up to 70% of people will stop going to your company because of indifference of one employee in the company. Can you believe that? So relationship dynamics about creativity and about creating a culture. Because remember this, every company has its culture, whether it is overt, covert, or intentional, or otherwise. When you walk in there, you say, you know what, I never want to come here. For example, I say to people, if tomorrow this particular business tells you, we're going to give all our clothing free of charge, would you go? They said, yes. I said, what if when you go there, that person is abusive to you, he swears you, he calls you fit for nothing, that kind of, would you go? They say, you will not go. Well, all of us have dignity. We have dignity. And it's something that's important, right, for all of us. So I think it's important for us, especially now, with things that are, you know, low-keyed or whatever, to look at how we can radically change things. If you look at, Yusuf, as you said, no one anticipated the situation we are in today. Yusuf, there are four groups of people in terms of what has happened. There is a small group that are doing far better than they ever did. A second group, the status quo is the same. The third group, far worse than they ever did. And the fourth group have shut shop.
Wiped out.
Wiped out completely, shut shop.
So my question to you is, what is the difference? Why are there a few that make it in? Remember, everyone is faced with the same challenge. Okay, I may be in the wrong sector.
Yeah.
It could be that, right? But let's say I'm in the same sectors as well. And I get wiped out, somebody doesn't. What is...
Okay, there are a few factors. Nothing happens. Let us recognize Allah in this equation, right? The other very important thing is this, that you cannot be... Gone are the days for you to have a shop in a corner and be passive. You can... Those days are over. You need to say, listen, What do I need to do differently? Mm. Why should anyone invest in us? And remember, in the end, and I've seen it happen, if people love you and for who you are, right, you are very, very critical. People will drive miles to come and shop by you.
Mm-hmm.
Miles, because they're getting satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And you find every individual requires the six things. Any individual, especially now.
Mm.
Because I tell people, when someone walks in, he's a husband, he's a father,
mm.
he's a son. He may be going through his own tensions. What he wants from you is a smile.
Mm.
So what he wants? He wants acceptance. He wants affirmation. He wants acknowledgement. He wants affection, attention. And he wants to be given positive attributes.
Mm.
To be told to that person. You know, for example, let us say you are a recurring customer.
Mm.
You and we have conversations. And I'll give you one example. I was doing a program for a group of shops. They're selling high-end men's clothing. And so I was going to one of their branches, and there was a family there. Hmm? And I asked this family, why do you shop here? Their answer was so instructive, so revealing. They never said we shop here because of the product.
Mm.
You know what they said? We shop here because all of them treat us as if we are their family.
Mm.
Just look at that.
Mm.
It in the family. So let us say you've come to me and you told me, I asked you how you're doing, you know, just chatting. And you say, no, I'm a bit anxious. My daughter is writing a paper, you know. And the next time you come around, and I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you remember the last time you were telling me about your daughter, how's she doing?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, hey, he remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm important. And all of us want to feel the sense of importance.
Mm-hmm.
All of us want that. All of us want validation.
That human, that
the human touch. The
yes.
human touch, especially.
Which a lot has been lost through the technological advances.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're hiding behind your little instrument, your technological instrument, whether it's your phone or your computer or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're having Zoom calls or whatever, but you're losing that human interaction.
For example, you know, people make this comparison between the Toyota model and the Ford model. The Ford model, the employees, we said, we want your hands. You don't really want your mind.
Yeah.
But the Toyota model is, even you could be the janitor, a person walking on the floor. If you find something wrong, you can stop the conveyor belt. Look at that.
Mm. Mm.
You understand? So in other words, everyone
is part of the
place.
Yes.
Is significant. It's important. And you know what? When you validate your own employees, they want to go the extra proverbial mile.
Mm.
If you validate them, they're going to be loyal. If you validate them, they will not be passive. They would apply their minds. And I'll give you another example. Mm. I did a program.
I just before that, you bring in that point there, I just want to ask you something. You know, the reality of it is we're in a country where, look, the truth is we have, because of historical issues and so on, a general competencies are quite low.
Yeah.
Right? You have a high unemployment rate. You have generally the low level skills.
Mm.
How then in organizations like that? Because then the view is that, listen, how do you develop skills like this? You know? How would you deal with that?
Yeah, so there are two things. They must go concurrently.
Right.
Firstly, it's your relationship as a collective and to the individual, and also upskilling them, giving them belief, right, that they can do it, and taking them step by step. And what happens is this, there is what you call a transformation.
Mm.
You know, in Islam, it's about gradualism.
Mm.
And in fact, studies have also shown, right, that if you employ someone exclusively for his skill, and he knows that his skill is a shortage of that skill, they found that such a person is never a team player. He thinks he's indispensable. Mm. He's above the law.
Mm,
and that perfect. Often happens. That often happens. You know, therefore, in the book, Good to Great by Jim Collins,
yes.
and, Built to Last. And it's, for me, a very, very instructive manual about business. And he argues, and he says that, a business is like a bus.
Mm.
All of us are traveling in this bus. Sometimes you've got to change the seating of the bus again. Sometimes you've got to stop the bus and ask those people to leave that are toxic to the company.
You know, and those are the tough decisions to make.
Also, you know, you might have experienced another company, which is helpful, but you must adapt to the vision of your new company. Adapt to the vision of the new company. And I would say this year, if you have a program of growth, of self-belief, and where you create an atmosphere that is not tense. For example, people like Zappo and all these people, unbelievable. The atmosphere is so easygoing. Sometimes they said the longest phone call was made, I don't know how many hours, to a particular client. Because when you leave, they say, you know, word of mouth. They say on average, every individual knows 200 people. And he would speak to 200 people about his experience. Now, those 200 people, they have also known other 200 people. Therefore, there's a book called Hugging Your Customers.
The personal touch, you see. That personal touch, that relationship management. Right. And but you can do that when you yourself are personally developed, which is where you're focusing on. Because as the individual in the organization, when you have this wholesomeness, then you create a organization that's wholesome. And then you can relate to your stakeholders, whoever they are, in a wholesome way. We've come to the end of the segment. You know, we can go on and on, and because it's really powerful stuff. And I believe so important for businesses, for organizations, whether they be NGOs as well, having you know, the same challenges of how to differentiate yourself in this new world. Listen, it's not easy out there. There are huge challenges. But as you said, there are so many opportunities. But what do you need to do to harness those opportunities? And what do you need to be to harness those opportunities? Let's explore this in our last segment after the break. Welcome back to Inspirate Business, where we wish to inspire you, to empower you, and to enlighten you. And that is our mission, to provide some sort of skills, some sort of tools through specialists that we have on what we term this red hot couch from our sponsor, AZA Collective, that's out in Cromerville. And today, we are being enlightened by none other than Brother Idris Khamisa, somebody who's a mentor to me and a mentor to many others, who's done such wonderful work with organizations locally as well as globally. And we're talking of what are the new age, the post-COVID tools that can differentiate you so that you can excel. Because I do believe that as much as there are lots of naysayers, a lot of doomsday theorists, and it's realistic, yes, no doubt, we are, as a country, face many, many, many challenges. I mean, people from KZN, you know, your home province, that have been through so much. Yes, there's a lot of pain, but we've been taught through the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who's had probably one of the most difficult lives, yet always taught us to be positive and to have that Allah consciousness, and that that has guided him. So I know you infuse a lot of these principles into organizations. But one may ask, because we're talking about how to create the human capital in an organization, but one may ask, is that, can it work? You know, this is the elephant in the room, I like to call it. You know, some say that, you know what, you just have to be dictatorial and you just say what you need. And this is what the, you know, it's like cogs in a wheel. Employees are cogs in a wheel. Or do you go the other route, which is this whole laissez-faire approach? And, you know, it's all created through its own organic way. Is it one or the other? Is it an infusion of the hybrid? Through your experiences?
You know, Yusuf, there are a few factors. There is a book I came across. It's called Abolish Appraisals.
Okay.
Yeah, it says because when you have appraisals in the company, it often sours relationships, often does that. And he said you do that by making sure you choose the right person, for the job, number one. Secondly, when you are compassionate and kind, you unleash the intrinsic motivation. And I'm not suggesting that you become overly indulgent. There are some things that are non-negotiable, like punctuality and so on and so forth. These are non-negotiable things. And therefore, you know, the real question to be asked in the end, how do you measure any company? How do you measure success? We often look at the profitability, another kind of thing. But the real way is to measure it against your vision. Your vision is so critical. Your vision informs your behavior. Your vision, you know, creates the kind of climate. For example, we are part of the Global Association of Islamic Schools. And one person, a friend of mine, Waqas from the UK, said we should not confine ourselves only to Islamic schools, but to Islamic education. And therefore, our tagline is to transform Islamic education. Is a difference to transform Islamic education. It gives us room for more participation, everything else. Now you find the reality is, you know, therefore in a company, all of us, because of our humanity, we want to be treated as humans and to be as humane as possible. So you have an issue with someone, you try to, in inverted commas, rehabilitate him, talk to him about it, right? In the end, I say to people, you never make a decision to fire someone. That person made his own decision. Especially now, you've got to look after your job. You've got to say to yourself, you know, perhaps I don't fit into this company. I need to move somewhere else. So what I'm saying is this, that we've got to create the culture and environment. And I'll give you another quick example. Some years ago, the auditors of this company said, you know what? We're going through a very lean period, and he had a huge staff, massive staff. He said, we could ask a few hundred people to leave, you know. So because the owner was compassionate, he says, no, I'm sorry. They're like my family. There must be another way. There has to be another way. So they addressed the whole group, maybe a few thousand, whatever. They said, you know what, we do not want you to lose your job, but we're making a suggestion. And if you have another suggestion, by all means, share that with us. What is the suggestion? He says, are you prepared, each one of you, to take 1 month unpaid leave? Look at that.
What a thing.
Yeah, what a thing. And someone said, we're prepared to take 2 months. They said, ironically, the production that year was the highest. You know why? Because the person felt compassion for the other guy. He says, you know, I don't want to lose the job. I don't want him to lose the job. Look at that. So in other words, there are answers, you know. You cannot have a knee-jerk reaction. You know, we cannot do these things, you know. Like Simon Sinek.
You bring a very powerful point there, which is that to actually, this is where that as working as a community becomes so important. So I think the new term is also not necessarily competition, but co-opetition.
Yes, we
compete, but we compete in a positive way for the benefit of that sector, and you know, and our customers.
So that's a fundamental thing. So I think, you know, what saddens me, to be honest with you, many of our business people do not read about their craft, do not seek help, you know.
Yes, do not seek help.
And thirdly, you know, because, you know, I say to people, if something brought you here today, it does not mean it will take you to the other destination.
Of course.
You've got to rethink, be very, very creative. And creativity, all of us are born creative. And that's the reality. In fact, a study that I shared, I'm prepared to share it here again, is a fact at Stanford University, they tested 1,000 kids between the ages of they were 4 and 5, and 95% tested creative geniuses. The same children between the ages of 8 and 10, the percentage went down to 32%. The same children between the age of 13 and 15, it went down to about 12%.
So your environment has broken that spirit of creativity.
We're born
with this creativity, and then whatever, the societal, parental, environmental norms have thwarted that
energy. In fact, Yusuf, I'm going to say this, and I'm glad I'm talking to you. It reminds me, you know, I want to write a book. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophet of creativity. If you look at the different things that he done in a creative, unbelievable, you know.
I mean, you look at the Medina model that was created. That you had to think totally outside
the box yes.
compared to what the paradigm was at the time, the norm. So it's about challenging yourself and coming up with the new, right? And that's, I think, the challenge and the opportunity today for us.
Yeah, I mean, for example, just a few quick examples, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people that were prisoners of war, to get the release, they had to teach the children. Can you imagine how powerful is that?
Wow.
You know, the Battle of Kanka, it was the Battle of the Trench, right?
So use that talent of these enemies to actually enhance your own community.
Yeah. And therefore, another aspect which is prophetic, the whole issue of emotional intelligence. It's about how you deal with people. You know, we have become very, very impatient. You know?
This is true.
We are very impatient. And in our impatience, we are rude. You know, we are dictatorial. And the worst thing ever is for your own employees to curse you. And they're coming there reluctantly to work. Secondly, they'll try to sabotage you because of the kind of person you are. I'm not justifying that. So what I'm suggesting is this. The models are there. And we've got to turn to Allah. We've got to look at the prophetic way. We need to look at relationship dynamics. We need to diversify. We need to empower our people. You know, for example, someone said, okay, I'm spending time empowering him, but he would leave my company. He said, at least when he goes to the other company, he can say to them, I learned this in the last company.
He's an ambassador for you.
He could all the time,
Yes. And you know, you see this so strongly, and I hope you as a viewer have been picking this up, because I know, just listening to Uncle Idris, you know, you combining this secular knowledge of yours that you, an avid reader of, with this very strong ethos. These Islamic ethos, these universal principles of godliness and consciousness, you know, spirituality, and how important that is in the world that we're living in today. So, you know, I just think of it, you know, as you were speaking, I'm thinking, you know, if every organization, maybe a government organization with all the challenges that we faced with, maybe a private organization, a small business, you know, could tap into this knowledge. And I mean, here's another opportunity which I was actually just thinking, putting my entrepreneurial hat. We need to take all of this and somehow automate it and systemize it so that it can go to many, you know, inshallah, because that, I believe, would be so valuable. And you know, if people want to, right? I mean, we obviously have your details at the bottom of the screen. But you offer your skills through organizations, individually. How does that work?
Internationally, I mentor people. With Allah's blessing, I've been to 30 countries now, and I cannot thank Allah enough, and my parents and people that are around me, and the people that give me an opportunity in this country to do programs for their companies, and they could contact me, you know.
Right.
I just want to end it off with one incident.
There's a few minutes left, and just leave this
to
our viewers here.
Yeah. You know, I met someone at the airport, right? And, you know, in Islam, there is no coincidence. And he recognized me. So he began to speak to me. He told me, Idris, from the work you are doing, you know, how do you see the future and whatnot? Then he gave me the story of Solly Dockrat, Fashion World. You know?
Yes.
He said, you know, I'll never forget this. I used to manufacture stuff and they used to buy from us. So one day Solly came there. And he gave me a huge financial gift. He said, I'm giving this to you because the products that you should sell to me, we have profited so much from it. Besides, he said, I want to give you this as extra. Can you believe that? You know, so this whole thing, you know, is having Allah in the equation. And to understand, it's not because of your smartness, you know. It's not because of your smartness. And life today is so fragile, you know, so frail, you know. And, you know, Allah, I'm just a friend of mine, his son of 12, 13. I'm not too sure what his real age was anyway, passed away, you know. And I, you know, how your life is shaken by these things. Mm. So I think it's important for us to remain positive. They say that you rather do a biopsy rather than an autopsy. You know, whilst you are there, you reflect on what's going on. You know, have your powerful meetings, uplifting meetings, you know, and developing your managers, making them into leaders. You'll see a transformation, and the barakah you'll see, you'll not be able to quantify, you know.
Yeah, so on, you know, we've come to the end already of the show. We thank you on behalf of the Inspirate Business Show, you know, for blessing us with your guidance, your esteemed guidance. I know you have helped me a lot in terms of my own journey as an individual, as an entrepreneur. And, you know, whatever you're going through, whoever you are, whether you're entering the business world, whether you're intending to do so in an organization, maybe you've lost your business, there's always hope. And it is about reaching out. And the likes of Uncle Idris is there to reach out to just give you that nudge that his teacher gave him once upon a time. And that's why he is where he is. He gave me that nudge. That's why I am where I am. So it's like that. We all feed off each other and so grow a stronger community, inshallah. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.